Talk about what asthma is and how it's a lifelong condition, I'm assuming for everyone or many, but just sort of asthma 101 from a medical point of view.
I mean, it sort of falls in the category of, it's kind of a reactive airway disease, that their lungs, in a range of ways, and again, there are better people than me to explain this, but in a range of ways, either can constrict or can have inflammation in them that just interferes with airflow. And so the underlying treatment is to get that inflammation, get that constriction down, and to try to increase airflow. And so that can be in an acute way where you really can't breathe, it's gotten so bad, or it can be in lower levels where you just don't have the lung capacity that you would have if you didn't have asthma, or if you didn't have asthma that's not as controlled as well as it should be.
There are obviously a range of medications to treat, and I'm guessing that range is used depending on the severity. You can have varying degrees of asthma. Is that not
Yeah,
true?
tremendous heterogeneity in terms of what asthma is for folks. So that you can have, and even stuff early on of how young, of when someone's willing to call it asthma versus you've just had a lot of infections. But in contrast to other, some kids get bronchiolitis or these viral infections and are over it like that. Other kids really have a hard time. So when you call it, which varies, but you have some who have it as a life-threatening condition. You know, people die of asthma. If it's not controlled and handled well, and others where it can be more of a nuisance and a very mild thing that only flares up with kind of specific triggers. So it's a pretty wide range of what the condition is. So there's a wide range then a step up of what the treatment is depending on where you are, which gets back to this idea you've got to be able to be cognizant of your symptoms and not waiting till you can't breathe, and making sure that you've gotten on the right treatment plan.
What are some of the triggers for asthma? And I guess the most severe reaction is an asthma attack, the layman's term. I don't even know what that is exactly.
Of how would we explain any of the it's just when it's gotten severe enough that you really are having trouble breathing. So I mean,
Literally, have you, like,
you can get to the point where you're not going to adequately get oxygen into your body. You can, again, you can die of asthma. And so you don't want the lungs to get to the point where it's hard to reverse them. You want to be dealing with this early. And so that's why there are the range, just like there's the range of severity, even within a person, you know, someone's asthma can be doing fine, and whether the triggers are pollutions, whether the triggers are a range of environmental things. So as we, we've been talking about climate change, and whether it's climate change or climate change resulting from pollution, releasing climate change, the pollution already affecting asthma. In fact, I didn't even get a chance to read it that closely, but there's just a recent article looking in, I think it was in California, of they were able to look, and as there were changes in certain markers of air quality, they were able to see changes in asthma for the kids associated with that. Not on all of the things they looked at, but some of them. So you can have sort of chemical exposures like that. There are also, we worry about in-house stuff. So that can be pests, whether that's rodents, or some insects or mold or those things. There can be a range of things that can trigger asthma attacks or just kind of make things worse. I think people in the layman's term of using it as an attack is the point at which you have noticeable symptoms and you're really having trouble breathing. And again, that can be life-threatening if it gets bad enough. And for some people, that can happen much more quickly. In asthma, there's this range of the way that it plays out for kids or adults, and the treatment needs to be tailored to what that is. I both think cause, and if we think of things like this, all the pollution that led to the climate change, it's the double whammy. All that pollution is impacting asthma directly by in the way it's going to people's lungs. And then it's doing climate change, which is setting up additional conditions that again make that worse. So I think any, asthma is an example of a number that are environmentally mediated problems. And if our environment is unhealthy, whether that's because climate change leading to flood, which leads to mold, or pollution, which led to climate change and is a direct lung irritant, that's where we end up in this. When any chronic lung condition, whether it's COPD or asthma, your reserve is less than if you don't have that problem. So you're going to go from maybe feeling a little different to maybe if you're on the edge of with COPD, where you are barely able to keep your oxygen on a good day, any stressor above that can put you into a place where you have a problem. And that's sort of a chronic, so that's an issue in general. Usually we all have some level of reserve, right? We are breathing comfortably. We walked up the stairs. We were both okay going up the stairs.
Yeah.
Now, if we went up 10 flights, right, at some point, one of us would start, maybe both of us at the same time. But as conditions become a little more challenging, whether that's from an insult like air quality or from a demand, depending on your underlying reserve, your symptoms will start or your problem will start at a different level. So the folks that you're seeing it is, the folks whose lung function is diminished are going to start responding to that more. I mean, if the air quality gets bad enough, right, any of us will start having trouble at some point. It might not be asthma, but where there's not enough oxygen, right? If they keep dropping the oxygen level, sooner or later we're going to die or at least start having trouble. The person with asthma or worse COPD, who's already having trouble keeping oxygen in their body, are going to reach that point way before we reach that point.
There's a socioeconomic factor here too.
Yeah.
If you lack the financial means to have air conditioning, and you live in an area that's, let's say you live in a part of the city that has industrial pollution, leftover pollution, whatever, and you can't run your air conditioner, or you don't have one on a really hot, stifling day, a heat spell, you pay a price that you might not necessarily if you had air conditioning or didn't live in that area. Is there not a socioeconomic
factor? Huge. And the layers of this, though. So if we go through your whole logic of not just the air conditioner, what if you have an air conditioner and it's not cleaned well and it's throwing out a pollutant? What if you live in a place where there's a rodent problem and there are mites and other pests, all asthma triggers? What if the roof is leaking and there's mold? And are you in a place, because you're lower income, where you're on a busier street where there is just the air quality there isn't as good? What if you're in crowded conditions where you're more likely to get viral infections, which will trigger your asthma or bacteria? So all of those environmental, then do you have access to healthcare, right? Healthcare isn't yes or no, it's how strong a primary care system, how good are they getting you the things you need, how responsive when early on you're not feeling quite right, but it's not an emergency. Maybe if you've got to fight through access problems, you don't get it jumped on. Whereas if you're wealthy and have an easy ride, you don't have to worry about transportation, you don't have to worry about co-pays, you have health insurance, you can get those treated. So I think whether it's the environmental burden, we've had conversations before about lead poisoning,
right?
Those affect certain neighborhoods because of the housing quality and probably other things related, but primarily the housing quality. Well, that housing quality affects asthma, but then it affects, for many people, your ability to get the treatment for your asthma. So it's I think, a whole range of things that this affects from a socioeconomic standpoint.
So obviously it's a major area of research in the Institute.
Yeah, it's a big focus of the Hassenfeld Child Health Innovation Institute. And I mean, when we looked at the topics to pick, the first criteria was, is it a major child health issue? And asthma is one of the most common chronic health conditions. And the other two criteria that we tried to focus on is there a reason to focus on in Rhode Island? And as you know from Asthma Camp, it is a reason to focus here. Our kids are suffering. And the third was, do we have people here who are ready to go to really make a difference? And I think that's where we're lucky in this state, is that there's a long line of folks. You, I think, talked with Daphne Cohen-Smitchell and Elizabeth McQuaid.
I'm going to.
Oh, going to. Oh, okay. of what they're doing. They have built on Greg Fritz and Bob Klein, the former chair of pediatrics.
Yeah.
This was his focus area. So people have been doing really interesting community-level work in this area for a long time in Rhode Island. It was an interdisciplinary group that has really focused on, they can tell you, really grassroots asthma camp, community health workers integrated in the school, because if you're going to take care of asthma, it's not like you give a pill and the kid's fine. You know, you really have to be following, is this working, is this not working? How do you graduate treatment if it's needed, or back off if it's don't? And it's not just, are they in the hospital or in the emergency department, it's, can they play at camp when they go to camp? You know, can they live a full and active life that you want to really optimize health? And so I just think we've had really visionary people who have done that, to really, how do we do not wait till they're in the emergency department or in the hospital? How do we keep kids healthy in this area that really can take a toll on kids, again, not just being in the emergency department or hospital, but limiting their activity or limiting their quality of life.